Okay, it's that time again for another GoldSeek.com Radio Gold Nugget installment. Today's special guest, Gerald Celente. Well, Gerald Celente is the director of the Trends Research Institute. His team produces the Trends Journal with hard-hitting, in-depth analysis of the economic, socio-political, and cultural trends. Welcome back, Gerald Celente.
Thank you, Chris.
Lawrence Kotlikoff at Boston University claims that the U.S. is in a worse financial situation than even Greece. The U.S. government owes roughly $222 trillion in unfunded liabilities. I think this number is going to be 15 times, let's say, the annual GDP. You know, 10 to 12 years of everything produced in this country. Can we ever pay this back?
We can't even pay back the $17 trillion plus that we know that we have without all the other unfunded liabilities. How are they going to pay that one back? So no, the answer is no. It can't be done.
Imagine if you had to pay, let's say, 10, 15 times your annual salary. Oh, you'd be working essentially for the rest of your life in order just to pay the debt off. There's no retirement there. And so there doesn't really seem to be a viable exit plan from this, unless we just cut everyone's benefits off. And the blowback would be enormous, I'm sure you'd agree.
Oh, yeah. I mean, there'd be revolution. That would be the blowback. And as we're listening to the new Fed chairman-to-be, Janet Yellen, and you really read her words, I mean, she admits that this is unprecedented what they're doing. This is all new territory, and they don't know how they're really going to unwind this QE2 or QE3 rather, and or future tapering. So they really have no idea what the implications are going to be. We do, however. We believe we can see the future pretty well as far as the economy goes, and that is despite the talk about tapering. And they may try to do some, but it's going to happen, as I've been saying all along, either late December or after the beginning of the new year, for the specific purpose that they cannot afford to destabilize the retail sector during the heavy holiday buying season when shoppers are going deeper into debt to buy those gifts. So they were not going to rattle the markets on that. And we saw what happened when Bernanke first talked about tapering last spring, what happened to the world equity markets, particularly the emerging markets. So now, because all the hot money, of course, flowing into them because of the cheap interest rates and all the availability of the money that they're printing, so the emerging markets really took it the hardest, but ours did as well. So here's our scenario. They're going to taper a bit. They're going to have to. And they're also facing the reality that when they do, interest rates are going to go up. When interest rates go up, the economy declines. And already, as they're announcing the possibilities of tapering, we're seeing bond prices start moving up. And that's when the big bubble bursts. It's the bond market. And as we see that number increase, and it becomes unsustainable, that's when you're going to see a crash that was worse than the panic of 2008. So those are the things we're looking at. And with the perfect understanding, and this isn't my understanding only, we just heard it from Andrew Hussar, who was with the Federal Reserve official, saying that the real purpose of the quantitative easing was to drive up the prices of the banks holding the debt instruments and to provide the banks with trillions of dollars at zero cost, which, of course, has led to the speculation.
The bond market, 40-year unbroken bull market, and so it would certainly be rife for a bubble bursting, if you will. And not to mention, think of the funds that will obviously have been flowing out of the sector somewhat recently into stocks. But I mean, that money, which is an enormous amount of retirement funds, pension funds, mutual funds, I think it could overwhelm a small market like the precious metals. At some point, would you agree there'll have to be some traction? Because folks are going to be looking for an alternative to bonds in their portfolios.
On the short term, you know, I've been saying this, you know, for months. We have been forecasting gold prices to go lower. We even see them going between $100 and $150 lower than where they are now. But this is a short term downdraft as we see it, because there's no possible way that the central banks could sustain what they're doing. They're now talking in Europe about negative interest rates. If businesses, commercial businesses with large holdings, put money into the banks will then loan it back to them at minus 0.1%. That's how desperate they are to keep this thing going. You cannot keep interest rates at zero or minus zero. This is impossible. This is something that has never been done in the history of the world, part one or part two. So it's going to be an ugly ending. They have to unwind it at some point. You listen to Ben Bernanke earlier this week. He said that these low interest rates are making it possible for people to buy automobiles. Yeah, that's right. 0% interest rates. Step right up. No verification needed. Oh, no, it'll be nice. Don't worry about it. You can't find a good job? You're looking at wages going down? 95% of the jobs that were created are part-time jobs? Don't worry about it. Buy a new car. No, they're setting the whole thing is a bubble. It's going to burst, and that's why I'm in gold for the long term. And you know well that we do not take one page, one line of advertising in the Trends Journal. It's 52 pages, no advertising. No advertising on our website, so nobody pays us to say what we're saying. We say this in full confidence and full disclosure that we don't take a penny from anybody, and the only monies that we make are through our seminars, through our trends journals, and through my doing public speaking. So when I say I'm bullish on gold, and have been when I call the beginning of the gold bull run in 2001, there's no vested interest here other than my personal interests, and that is to be safe and secure in my golden years.
Turning back to Fed chair nominee, certainly last week made it clear that there would be plenty of monetary stimulus forthcoming. I think that was one of the big pieces of news that pushed the Dow out of its consolidation now up to an all-time record high, struggling a bit this week, but I think that's kind of normal after breaking out of a consolidation trading range.
Well, what they're saying is, you know, the Fed taper is likely to in coming months, according to the latest minutes. So they say that the members generally noted that there had been little change in the economic outlook since the September meeting, and the members, but they again say that they believe that the data is showing an improvement in labor market conditions and would thus warrant trimming the pace of purchases in coming months, end quote. And that's from the Federal Open Market Committee. So at their October 29th and 30th gathering, and that was just released. So they're throwing out that fig leaf of tapering, but if you read the language, and it's very important, that the committee's outlook for ongoing improvement in labor market conditions would thus warrant trimming the pace. What labor market are they looking at? They're certainly not looking at the U.S. labor market, because the U.S. labor market, as I mentioned, the largest percentage of jobs created are part-time jobs. And the only reason why the unemployment number is going down at all, because of all the people that are no longer in the jobs market. So I don't know what kind of labor market they're talking about. And the other part of the labor market they're talking about, where there's the fastest growth, are in jobs that don't pay living wages, such as retail sector, home health aides, and waitresses and bartenders. You don't get rich and you can't buy a house making that kind of dough. And then again, when I mentioned houses, look at the latest housing data coming in. You're seeing a huge fall off of young people being able to buy houses. So they're talking about tapering, but the data they give for tapering doesn't exist to support their contention.
Just the thought of tapering, I think, is almost comical at this point. I mean, imagine what would happen to the global economy if they take their collective central banking feet off the pedals. Briefly shift topics here for a moment on the Bitcoin phenomenon we're seeing here. Topped $1,100 in China. Now, keep in mind, that's only in terms of the renminbi before it tanked promptly. Hit $900 officially in the U.S. before dropping to $600. I don't think it's so important economically in isolation, but when we look at it in the bigger picture in terms of the yellow metal and silver and competing currencies outside of the fiat system for what we might see for gold and silver, we've got to exit paper money. I'd like your thoughts on just what Bitcoin could mean for gold and silver investors.
To me, you know, it's just another element of a fiat currency. As I see it, I mean, there's nothing there to support it. And when you talk about gold and silver, let's not forget, you know, gold's been on, what, a 12-year bull run. And yet, even with a 12-year bull run, what percentage of the people buy gold and silver? Now, it has to be, what, about 1% or 2% when you really look at it? So the people aren't really aware of what's going on in the masses. And it's just going to be that small minority of people that keep driving the market. And let's not forget that physical demand for gold keeps going up. It's the paper markets that are being traded down. And there's a lot of speculation, and I have no reason to doubt it, that the markets are being manipulated. And why should I say that? Well, they're rigging the Forex markets. And what is that? Over $5 trillion a day traded. They've rigged the LIBOR rates, the interest rates. That's a fact. So why wouldn't they push down the price of gold and silver? Because the higher those prices go, the more worthless the worthless fiat currencies become. As for bitcoins as well, we're doing a major story on it in the upcoming Trends Journal, which will be out in a week or so. So with all the details as we see it, how it's going to play out, where it's going, who's behind it, and what to expect.
And as we wrap up, China officially ascended to gold consumer superpower. China now is buying about 800 tons of gold compared to India's 715 tons. And this is a first. You know, India has always, as long as I can remember, worn the crown of world's top gold consumer. Of course, the interesting aspect is India does not produce much gold, whereas China is a major gold producer, and they consume not only all that they produce. Middle class is becoming quite affluent. And it would seem to me as though they must at least recognize something that we're missing here in the West.
When you talk about India, look what they're doing. Look what they're talking about, the outflows of money that went into these emerging markets, the hot money that went in. The rupee is crashing against the dollar. It's hitting all-time lows. So what is the Indian government doing? They're making it almost impossible for Indian people to buy gold anymore. Because they see that the people are smart over there and know that their rupee isn't worth anything. And it's just going to keep devaluing in dollars, in value rather, and devaluing against the dollar. So even with that, the Indians are still buying a lot of gold. And as you so correctly point out, you know, China has, you know, I mean, you know, they have a lot of poor people in that country, but there's 1.2 billion of them, and they have, what, like something like 450 million people moving into the middle class. And they're buying gold because they see what's going on in the world. Now, the people in the United States, you know, they don't see beyond the borders, and most of them don't know what's going on. So that's why you have such a small percentage of Americans that really participate in the gold market. And even that small percentage is still enough to keep driving the prices higher, as we saw what happened over the last 12 years. And very important, you mentioned China, you mentioned India. Think of all of those stands, you know, those Kazakhstans, Uzbekistans. Think of Russia. Think of all of the other countries around the world whose central banks are buying more and more gold, countries whose names we never heard of before. And go back to China. Think back in 1980 when gold hit $875. I believe it was on January 20th, 1980, during the trading day, closed at $850. There was no China buying gold. India wasn't buying that much. There was no Russia. There was a Soviet Union. The Stans, who ever heard of them? There was, you know, nobody knew about Uzbekistan or Kazakhstan or Kyrgyzstan. So what I'm saying is this is a global play now. And it only could be controlled by the central banks and the money forces for only a certain amount of time. And then, as I see it, its gold goes back to the races, and the number that I've been giving it since the beginning is $2,000 an ounce, and accounting for inflation going back to 1980, you know, it should be, what, at about $2,200 an ounce just for that. And when I say that, 2000 an ounce, let's not forget, I was only, what, $79 off, because in September of 2011, it hit 1921. So for all intents and purposes, it was there, and I believe it's going to go back to there and beyond.
Tell folks more about the Trends Journal, perhaps some contact information.
Well, it's trendsjournal.com, trendsjournal.com, and besides getting the Trends Journal, we do Trends in the News, weekdays at 6:30, that'll bring you on top of the news and way ahead of the trends. We really give history before it happens. So you get all that with your Trends Journal subscription. And again, Chris, we know that people are having a difficult time. There's a discount request page there, so people could just let us know what their situation is. And we try to make the Trends Journal available to everybody so they could read history before it happens.
Gerald Celente, thanks so much.
Thank you, Chris. Always good being on with you.